Foreigners, two languages, one unexpected conversation. Welcome to No Prep Talk. With you today, Romeo, Joanna, and Priscilla.
Welcome to this week episode of our podcast. Today's topic is living abroad.
Okay.
The three of us are Portuguese and are medium to long-term expats or immigrants, whatever you want to call it, who left the short Portuguese horizon to experience life outside of our comfort zones, which to me is very is something very brave to do. Even though we come from different backgrounds, the three of us, moving abroad is always a challenge that not all people are ready for. So today I want us to explore all of our, the experiences of the three of us and share what main changes each of us went through, be it professional, personal, whatever you want to share, after leaving Portugal.
So it all started in 1979 when I first...
I think for me it was like 53, something like that. What about you, Joanna?
She's the youngest one. So for context, I've left Portugal now for 10 years.
Same here.
Where to begin? I think mostly it was I wanted to be outside of Portugal. I wanted to leave the Portuguese reality back then. I wanted to try something new, something very different. And I wanted to have also, on a professional level, some experience. I wasn't sure exactly what was going to be about. Didn't have much criteria. And I guess I never expected to become this long. I just thought about trying it. And then one experience led to the other, and it kind of, none of them resulted in me getting back as of yet, but it might be the case. So just a snippet for the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, well, for me, just as a glimpse of my experience, just before I turned 30, because of the weight of that age, I tried to do as much as I could to go abroad. So I felt if it's not now, it will never happen, and I'll be in Portugal forever. And gladly, it all just made sense. Like you can do it. Like it may be frightening, it may be a challenge, it may be something that will require some flexibility, some capacity to endure. But I went for a small international experience in Tunisia. I absolutely adored the differences that I found there. And I never wanted to stop. So I went back to Portugal and I tried to get back out as soon as possible. So Ireland followed. And I'm now in the Czech Republic, and we'll see what's next. But Portugal is nice, but it's small, and it's been international for quite a few centuries now. So it just makes sense to learn all that much about the world, and just after a while, just go and visit and go and stay and go to figure out what it was that led the guys 500 years ago or whatever to try it out. So yeah, that's it from me.
Joanna. What about you, Joanna?
So a bit of the same as you guys. I was in Portugal beginning my professional life, and at the time It was like right after the economic crisis, and you know, things in Portugal were terrible in terms of jobs and everything else, life in general, really. I wanted to go away from that mentality, the Portuguese mentality, away, like for a bit as well. I wanted to, you know, meet new people and learn many things that I've always questioned myself about. And that's when I tried for different, at different occasions, but then the perfect opportunity arised when I got my scholarship for my PhD in Trinity, and I decided to come. And it was the best decision I've ever made. Yeah, my life really changed for the better, in, you know, all the areas of life, really. So I am also interested in knowing what do you feel it was the biggest or the two main changes you had during these years of living abroad?
Well, there's one. I think the little things do make a difference. One of, without resorting a lot to cliches of, you know, it expands your mind and you meet a lot of people and this sort of thing. I think one clear example of how much it made a difference for me in the short term was I used to get a little bit upset when I was in Malaysia that some people didn't know where Portugal was, because it was so obvious to me that obviously you know where Portugal is, such a important country. But then the other way around, I wouldn't apply the same logic. Like, I didn't know Singapore was in border with Malaysia up until I kind of ended in there. So it puts your ignorance or into perspective. And I think it, in the small things like that, you kind of learn through being exposed to that, a little bit about listening more, definitely, and getting to know new realities and new ways of looking at things. And it could be on the day-to-day life, you know, things like food or the weather, but also in bigger things, like how people, what's people's outlook on life or their personal decisions, how those things vary. So I think in the beginning it was that. In the long run, at the moment, I think because it's so easy to get back, I don't have the question of, do I want to get back or do I not want to get back, which was a thing back in the days. Now it doesn't stand that question. So I think one of the biggest changes I felt was I don't have any pressure to get back to Portugal, and I don't have any pressure to state whether I want to get back to Portugal or not. It's if I want to, I'll just go. If I don't want to, I'll keep doing this.
What pressures did you feel up until now then, if you don't feel them anymore?
I think it's associated when you meet other people that are not in their country, from Portugal or from other countries, but in, you know, outside of their own country. I think the question is always, you know, do you want to get married, have kids, settle down, this sort of thing? And then usually the tendency is to think about your own country, because it's where you have the most number of friends, where you have family support. And so when you start hearing that, you kind of question, well, going to Portugal, in our case, it should mean that. That was like my initial assumption, but then that changed and your priorities change, and even your perspective on Portugal and what it means to go back, that also changes.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward for that time in my life, because I think I'm at that stage that you were before, of, you know, not knowing if I want to go back, if I want to stay. It's a tough decision.
But do you have to make it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe not.
It doesn't change. I mean, look at the past. You've been outside of Portugal for the last 7 years, I think, right?
Yeah.
So would you anticipate it that the next 7 years would be like this? Probably not.
No. But I also always said that I would always come back, you know? I mean, when I left, it wasn't a lifetime decision. You know, I left with the idea of coming back one day, and just letting go of that is hard, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I left with the consciousness that I did not want to return, not because I wanted to run away from a reality, but just because, you know, we're close, even if we're far. Like, it's, I had a friend that said one sentence a very long time ago, and that marked me. That made me think quite a bit. He was being given, in the company he was working in, he was being given the option between living in Lisbon and living in Paris. He's from Porto. Lisbon is 3 hours away by car, 3.5. And Paris is 3 hours or 3.5 hours away by plane. So what he said was, well, Lisbon is just a bit too far to be close. And it's a bit too close to be far. And that's a bit, that's a powerful statement. That's something that made me think a lot. I was living in Lisbon back then, me being from Porto as well. And I did want the thrill. And the time that you spent in transportations is about the same. So why not? Is it the language? Do we feel like we relate more with the people around us? Well, maybe, maybe not. I would say that I'm of a certain type of personality, so I get along with just a certain type of people. Well, I can get along with many, but, you know, I'd make friends more of a certain type than the other. So know that I can find that type of people anywhere. So why stay or why go back? Well, you have your family, you have your friends. Well, you make friends as you go. So that's not entirely true. And as for your family, well, my brother's living in the Netherlands. So in the end, where does it stop? We don't really have that much pressure if we don't think about it too much. And then there's the other side. If we decide to adopt the country we go to, which isn't the case of all expats or all immigrants, if we do decide to get into their culture and try to do the things they do, instead of just buying stuff in the grocery shop of whatever nationality we are from. Yeah, after a while, we're neither Portuguese nor whatever country of destination. We're somewhere in between. And that's a beautiful place to be. So I would say when I had my first experience going to Tunisia, because it was so close geographically and so distant culturally, I got amazed. It was being in the middle of an international bubble. Everybody was from a different country. And when I came back,
were you there for?
Just 7 months. But being in that,
would you stay for longer though?
What?
Would you stay for longer?
Well, I applied to a job to stay there, to remain there.
Really? Okay.
And yeah. And I got that job, and it was just a matter of, well, I didn't have the patience to wait for the job to materialize, because, yeah, I could have had a completely different life. Anyway, the expat bubble or the international bubble you have everywhere. So when I went back to Portugal, I started surrounding myself with international people, and I've been doing so since I left for the first time. So even if I was to go back to Portugal today, it wouldn't be the family and friends and business as usual, because I'm different and I would be in a different place as well.
True. Yeah. That's very valid.
What about you, Jonah? Did you adopt Ireland?
In a way, yes. But because I still have that type of mentality that I was just telling you about, I feel like for these 7 years, I feel like I'm home, but I am not 100% home. I don't know if you've felt this before, but that's what I've been feeling for 7 years. And I just, because my view on this is a bit confusing, I can't make a decision about it. It's like, I know that someday I want to go back. I don't know when. I don't know when will be the best time to do it, you know, if, yeah, I don't know. So.
Well, I would argue that probably the decision should rely mostly on what are the things you want to have rather than which country or whether Portugal represents a lot or not for you.
Yeah.
So if you want, if it's something like the weather or the closeness or proximity to family, if those are like the two biggest things, then
your priorities, probably, right?
Yeah, the things you value the most. Yeah, absolutely.
But then something that became my priority that it wasn't before was my professional, you know, the area, my professional career, which, you know, has been really good here. And I know that if someday I decide to go back, I'm not going to have the same opportunities, the same jobs, the same salaries. And that's, you know, a big one to think about when you think about going back.
But if you want to make it very rational or economic based, you can think of what's going to be your net salary, how much you're going to be able to save, rather than comparing. I mean, just look at the, you know, the minimum wage in Ireland, right? Like 1600 euros. Whereas in Portugal, I don't know, it's 500, 600?
Something like that.
Six something, yeah.
Yeah, so you can imagine that in absolute numbers, the salary will never be the same. But if in Portugal you save 1,000 euros a month with your salary, and in there you save 200, it doesn't really stand that. So you could make that decision based solely on where you're going to live in Portugal, this sort of thing.
Yeah. Something that I have to think about, guys. I know it's been a struggle, but I want to know also what it was for you, for both of you professionally, and what do you think you can look forward to professionally?
Well, I can start by saying professionally it has been horrible because. No, it is, because I feel what probably all people going to Portugal and being in Portugal feel, which is I'm second to a local for sure. If they have to choose, they'll choose the person that they feel the most empathetic with, and that would probably be a local, if they have the same qualifications as I do. But then if they compare qualifications, they have their education system that they know, and they're comparing it to education systems that they don't know. So in the end, it's like an Irish university, it can be like the fifth best Irish university compared to some foreign university that they don't know. So what happens to me, and probably to a lot of people, is I'll be considered, but I'm not a native speaker. So that's something that is so-so. It's good, it's okay, but it's so-so. And I better have a good resume. Otherwise, you know, like, they're not so sure about it.
I think you face different challenges from being outside Portugal. That you don't face there and vice versa, right? That's how I feel.
Yeah, I think we have we bring something to any company, any institution that we work, we may work in, because we do have this more broad experience. And at the same time, I remember I was in one of the companies I worked in Portugal, I hired a Turkish person. And she had a good CV. She was fluent in Portuguese. But this company was in the north of Portugal, and the accents there are thick. And she was struggling to understand what people were talking about. And, you know, what to say? What can we do? Like, we can ask everybody to speak slower, of course. But there's this space happening around an immigrant, and the immigrant at a lower sort of less intellectual position, in a more hands-on position, that's fine. But if talking is a big part of your job, and if you're not 100% communicative because you have struggles with the language or with the accent or whatever it is, then it will impact your performance. So there's a trade-off between international experience and fluency. Well, that's how I see it.
Sure. Definitely.
Well, you're a scientist. There's an international language of science. So does that make it easier for you?
You mean with English?
I mean, at work, too, because I've been saying that it's difficult, but you are adjusting.
It's a good thing about science is that everything is done in English. Every paper is written in English. Any scientific journal, you know, whatever you need, manuals, anything, are in English. So I wrote my two theses in English. So... I mean, once you learn the language, and we do have a good English education in Portugal. So yeah, that was never really a problem to me. I did, obviously, at the beginning when I first moved and I was here for only a month or two, I would feel very self-conscious, and I wouldn't speak sometimes, just so I was like afraid of saying anything that I shouldn't. So that was a problem for me at the beginning. It was, yeah, I remember now. even my friends used to say to me that I was very quiet and I didn't speak much, and yeah, but I was self-conscious. But I mean, it's been 7 years now, so I'm, you know, more than comfortable with language right now. But it is a setback when we are speaking about hiring people. Yeah, it's another challenge that we have to face as immigrants.
Let's say you would find a job in, I don't know, let's say Porto as an example. You know, whatever salary you would kind of feel comfortable with, what would be the reason not to move to Portugal?
The reason not to? Possibilities. I like to see them, you know, in front of me. And when I don't see them, I feel I'm locked on a cage and I have to be there and be that for the rest of my life.
What do you mean by possibilities?
I like the fact that being outside of Portugal gives me that perspective of, it's almost like I can do anything. I can go from here, I can go to anywhere, live anywhere, work in any job, anywhere, you know? I like that feeling. I like being somewhere where I can feel this way. Whilst, like, if I'm in Portugal, then because the professionally, it's, you know, it's important that I'm here because I need to have those opportunities in front of me too. So one of the things that changed for me in terms of my profession. Ever since I left Portugal was that I found jobs that I didn't know existed before, that I learned how to do them. I actually love to do them now. And if I was still in Portugal, I would never know that I was capable of doing them. You know, and I'm not a person of having the same job for 40 years, you know, and then retired and whatever. I like the challenge of learning new things, moving jobs if I want to. You know, I like to keep things moving. And I know that in Portugal, that's impossible.
Yeah.
But if you know that,
yeah,
if you know that to be impossible, then you have your answer. You're never going to move to Portugal.
Yeah, I know, but I keep, I know. I realize that, but it's just hard. I can't explain. But what about you, Postiga, in terms of your profession?
I think here in the UK, specifically in England, I moved here with a purpose. And I think there's a lot of opportunities within the social impact sector, which is something that professionally I want to pursue. So all else equal, absolutely. I would anticipate that the opportunities would arise quite frequently, and I would build a good network within that sector. So I already have, personal reasons for being here. If I add on top the professional opportunities, I think it's a no-brainer for the time being to be here. It makes sense for me.
Okay, but you've evolved a lot in terms of your career as well. You've done different things. I'm sure you also learned a lot from your experiences. You know, and you end up doing maybe some things that you would never do in Portugal or never had the opportunity to do, you know?
Yeah, I think so. But you can also think about different stages in your life. You might feel that pressure of being exposed to opportunities, it's not there anymore. Therefore, being in a smaller country with a culture you relate more, if that's the case, it might make sense.
Makes more sense, yeah.
I think if anything, I've learned that the question is not necessary at the moment. Like what people ask that all the time out of curiosity, do you kind of see yourself in Portugal? It's not a question. It literally, I don't have to make it a decision. I don't have to say 5 years, 2 years, 20. It's just, I can go to Portugal next month if I want to, if I need to, or if I have to. And that's basically all I need to know. Now, you do have priorities in the long run. I just mentioned some of them professionally. Plans are only good when you get to the field of battle, right? So it's good to have that sort of a sense where you want to stay, but nowadays, and I would assume going forward, you're not making life decisions that are written in stone anymore. It's like migrants from the 70s and so on that went to South America to France. I think that was probably harder. You didn't have communication with your family. You have to go and see what happens, if it works, and if you lose everything. There's a lot more on the line for us. I think this mobility with the globalization that we spoke before, it makes it a lot easier to make those decisions.
Too many options.
That's what this generation keeps complaining about. Yeah.
Romeo, you've also spoken about your profession as well, and the evolution ever since you left Portugal. So what do you see in the future for you? What do you see in the horizon?
Well, more and more I see, let's see if the world goes in that direction, but more and more I see a remote position for me. In the last couple of months, that's what I've been working on. Like I've been working remotely. And so where I live doesn't make any difference. So where I live just becomes a matter of personal experience. Where do I want to be? Do I want to be in an exotic country? Do I want to be in a warm country? So I'm moving towards that reality in which the place where you are doesn't have to do with the job that you have. And I don't know how much of that is going to be happening in the future, if that's going to expand and more people, or at least more and more office jobs become remote. But I chose the country rather than moving for any economic reasons. Or actually, when I left Portugal, I was doing well financially. I was stable. I had everything that I needed. So I wasn't looking for better suiting positions or a better economic life for me. I just wanted to know new things, adopt new countries, become more, you know, and I've been getting that. So the future, well, I just arrived in the Czech Republic. I speak a couple of languages already. I don't speak Czech. That's the future for me. It's first to learn Czech. And once I learn Czech, I can adopt their country as well, become a bit a Czech myself. And if that happens smoothly, if they adopt me as much as I wish to adopt them, then this may be a year-long relationship or perhaps a lifetime connection. So that's where I'm pointing at. But I'm distinguishing my personal life from that because I'm in that stage in which life is more of an adventure than building your, I don't know, retirement fund or whatever it is that people want to do. And Portugal was never the final destination. It was just the departure point.
Pustiga, do you have anything to say about your... the landscape?
About the future. I think if there's an indication of what I've had so far, it will probably still be for a while English-speaking country. I think the language is quite a big thing for me. I think for all of us, it's very telling that we're all Portuguese, but we're doing this in English.
Yeah.
But there requires a sort of an effort and dedication to the language that you wouldn't otherwise do. So because I need to express myself in that language and I do have an interest in that, I would see myself in an English native country. Now that could change. It could be broader, you know, US, Canada, Australia. Don't think so, but you never know. But I think that's the only Jamaica. Thing I would be more... Huh?
Jamaica. Why not? Why not?
That's the only thing I would be the most certain about, if you can have any certainties. Everything else, it's ever-changing.
And are your plans to keep doing what you're doing, or do you want to try new things?
No, I just started within this sector. I mean, technically, I still have the, you know, developing the same skill set, but with different audiences. And that will give me, that will keep me occupied for a few years. So I'm good.
Okay.
Great. What about yourself?
Well, to myself, it goes kind of the same way as Romeo. I would love to have a remote job. I might try in the near future. And as you guys know, this I have been trying to move my scientific career into more of a writing career. So it's more like I'm trying not to be as lab based, but more on my computer writing things about science. So I'm no longer making science, but I'm writing about science, which is also very important because it's as important to know how to communicate science. So I think it moves towards that pathway, something that I never knew about when I was in Portugal. I didn't know this profession even existed. I didn't know I was capable of it. And I think that I'm very proud with the fact that I had my difficulties with the language at the beginning, but now I am, you know, writing at a professional level in English. So that's a very big achievement for me, which I'm very proud of. Something that I got from leaving Portugal. And yeah, that's how I see my future. I don't know exactly where. I don't know if I am going back to Portugal. I'm not sure about that, but I would love to have a remote job just so I can then decide where I want to go.
That's fair enough.
So it was a pleasure, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hope you liked the topic. I enjoyed it. I think it was important to share a little bit of our background because we are three Portuguese people, but we also are three immigrants with three different stories to share. So
it was brilliant, very personal, but yeah, very very interesting in these days, especially. Okay, thank you guys.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.